Today's March 20th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $67,712.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Don't panic, Rick. Don't panic.
Hey, man, if you can't enjoy the wild side, you know, Bitcoin's not for you, at least not right now.
Yeah, if you don't enjoy Bitcoin when it goes up, you know, 20% in a week, a couple days, whatever the case may be, in a month, then you don't deserve the drawdowns when they take place. But they can be very scary when that happens.
They can be.
I want to say the first time I went through a bull market, like it drove me bananas seeing the price reduce so quickly. You know, and it goes through your mind. You're like, am I a fool? Was I deceived? Like, are all these people wrong?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's still, everyone's just figuring out what the price is going to be, right?
Yeah.
Everything's still speculative.
Yeah. So you went through this a lot more recently than I have. I've probably been a little bit more desensitized to it, and I really do think I have PTSD from it. In some way, like I'm say that jokingly, but at the same time, I think I'm semi-serious when I say that. But do you remember how you kind of felt looking at your investment the first time you saw the major drawdown?
No, well, I remember it went up to, what did it go up to, 60? And then I had a drawdown to like 35, and then it bounced back up to 60. That was pretty wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that was just like, what the heck happened there?
Yeah. You know, and it was something that's kind of interesting that I heard the other day, and we were kind of talking about this before we got recording tonight, was initially, we in 2021, we peaked out at 65,000. We had that drawdown that you're talking about. And then we went back up to 69,000.
Nice.
And it turned out, like, people are talking about how that was actually a double top, because what happened was that was the inflated price of Bitcoin at that time due to all the stimulus and everything else that was going on.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you mentioned that, I was like, oh, yeah, 2021 is when the inflation really kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
Things are starting to open up. A whole bunch of Biden, you know, people got checks in their bank accounts just because. And yeah, that's really when inflation kicked off like nobody's business.
Yeah. And, you know, it's terrifying, especially if you're new to the market. But at the same time, you've got to have some conviction that, you know, you did make the right choice. And obviously, like, I mean, we've had a pretty crazy run-up so far this year. And I don't think anybody can deny that. Like, we've done incredibly well. And this is normal for Bitcoin to have this kind of a cool-down period.
Yeah. Well, just think about it this way. We're still, I guess, 4 weeks away from the halving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're down to where it's, like, pretty close to, like, a month or right less than.
Yeah. And what is the date still expected? Is it April 18th still?
Let me see if I can pull up a most recent clock and see what they say. Because last time we checked it, it said it was going to be around April 17th. Now it's saying April 18th. So yeah, 18th, 28 days away currently is what we're looking at. 4,391 blocks left. So we're getting there slowly but surely. And it's coming actually a lot quicker than I think most people kind of can anticipate. It's coming quick. So, you know, and we were talking kind of before too, like, are we technically in a bull market or not? And I kind of consider that we are, but you said that maybe we're not quite there yet. And you could be right, because when we look at that inflation number again, right? Technically, the all-time high would be around 79,000.
Because in, you know, what, 3 years, less than 2.5 years, we've already lost, you know, How much again were you saying it would be? About 70,000?
79,000.
79,000. So we've lost $10,000 of value, and that's pretty crazy just to think about.
If that's the case. Yeah. No, that's nuts. Yeah. Well, I mean, think about then too, from the 65,000 to 69,000, that was 4,000 within just a few months.
Yeah.
And just for context, just so that you guys know, or those of you that are just now, maybe this is your first bull market, or this is your first time going in through a cycle, the drawdowns are typical. For example, when we look at 2021, it had four drawdowns of 20% that took place during that. And those drawdowns of 20%, that doesn't happen like real slow. Like, those are fast. Back in the 2017 bull market, the average pullback was around 30%, sometimes even reaching 40%. But every time that that's happened, it allows Bitcoin to go higher because it allows us to form some sort of a base. You know where your support's at that point.
And it washes out the people who are crazy enough to leverage their bets in Bitcoin.
Yeah. I mean, typical stock market, you can only do like a 2x leverage, I think is the max you can do like within the stock market. There are places out there that let you do 10x leverage on Bitcoin. And people look at that stuff. It's on the charts. They can see where those levels are at. So, yeah, they can make a quick buck and they can drive that price down. Like, the whales have a huge advantage in that, you know, scenario with stuff like that.
So, you know, that's just pure greed at this point.
Yeah. Why would you want to trade with 10x leverage?
Why would you? Well, especially on an asset that's performed as well as Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I mean, do you really need that much more?
Are you just going to
gamble? You're going to gamble the whole house just because you want 10 times more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. And I think it's important. And obviously now, like when we were initially talking about doing this episode, because I think we were talking about it last night, we were going to talk about, you know, don't panic, you know, this is typical during a bull market. However, we're already seeing a little bit of a, and I can't say quite a full recovery yet. Obviously, we're not back to where we were before, but we have seen an amazing bounce today. We saw a low, basically, what was it, 60,000 yesterday? And I'm not calling it exactly, but it was like 60, let's see, what does this look like? 67.05. And today now we're at, you know, 67,712. So, we're already seeing like some of that. And I don't know for sure if we have bottom, like, is that as low as we're going to go? I mean, there was a lot of people that probably got flushed out by this move that took place. But we'll have to kind of see what happens. Now, the other part of that goes in with that is that I put up a chart a second ago that we can see the Bitcoin ETF flow table. And this is up. This is just for the month of March. And we saw the largest outflows ever in Grayscale's history, basically as of Monday, $642 million in one day that they lost.
That's just Monday.
That's just Monday.
And then the next day, what did they do?
$443 million.
So $1 billion in 2 days.
In 2 days. And that's not that, you know, the other ETFs were still buying, but when we look at this, and if you look at our Discord chart or Discord chat, we've got the chart up right there. It's got basically the whole outflows for the month listed between them all. Like on March 1st, and if we look at March 1st, it was probably a down day in Bitcoin. The market lost 139 million that day. Of that, Grayscale lost 492 million. So the rest of the ETFs kind of in place were trying to buy up that, you know, buy up that selling pressure that happened. They weren't able to break it. After that, though, you know, the fourth, we had 562 million positive inflows. On the fifth, 648 million positive inflows. On the sixth, 332 million positive inflows. So, I mean, they were able to buy up the sells every time, except for the past 2 days. And then obviously the first. But so far for this month, Grayscale has lost almost $13 billion of Bitcoin from people selling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's huge selling pressure that took place.
And it just boggles my mind because you would think, I don't know, me personally, Grayscale got into Bitcoin, or they started their Bitcoin trust right before the halving. And Bitcoin was what, like $4,000 a coin at the time?
Yeah.
The previous cycle?
Yep.
So things had practically bottomed out in the pandemic. They put together this trust. They bought all sorts of Bitcoin at $4,000. And, you know, they got to live that whole cycle where they saw the crazy bull market, then they saw crypto winter set in, and then they went through spring. And now we're about to hit summer all over again with the crazy prices. And they're basically losing all their money or all their Bitcoin before the prices skyrocket yet again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right now they're averaging, like, if you look at this chart here, they're averaging $274 million a day that they're losing.
I just don't know. It doesn't make any much business sense to me. I mean, I think if you charge like a little bit less interest, but you were able to carry this over, and then maybe when people sold out later with the higher prices of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes more sense to me. What do I know?
Yeah. And I think we had that discussion kind of early on whenever the ETFs were actually launching, was that we didn't imagine there would be that much sell pressure for a prolonged period, because it seemed like the tax penalty alone for selling would have been, you know, worth just holding on to and paying the fee that Grayscale had until the price reached higher. And maybe it's high enough for some of those people now that they're like, hey, no, I'm done. Or that they're selling and then they're moving into something that's got a cheaper fees.
Maybe.
You know,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, when you look at that, like BlackRock alone, they did $13 billion so far this month. And this month's not even done yet in inflows.
We're 2/3 of the way through.
Yeah. $13 billion. You know, and so far net inflows into the market have been $11.6 billion for all the ETFs. That's not counting, you know, retail buying from Coinbase or anything like that. But, I mean, just the past 2 days, that drawdown, they haven't been able to keep up with that selling pressure that's coming out of Grayscale. So, something to think about. And you know, you brought up something too, and I think it's worth kind of just talking about for just a moment, is you were talking about crypto summer. You know, we're kind of entering that frame. And it depends on where you look. You know, some people say that crypto spring was all of 2023, and that now 2024, maybe, you know, the whole year or 8 months of the year is going to be crypto summer. And then we'll go back into crypto fall and then crypto winter again. And the big question this whole cycle, because for those of you that, you know, we want to reiterate, like, we do not believe that this is going to stay suppressed price-wise. Like, we're probably going to go back to new all-time highs, and we're going to be pushing further than what we were before. This is healthy for the market. It needs this type of a correction of a washout to take place. But do you think we're going to have a shortened cycle?
With the ETFs, I mean, I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what scares me, is the ETFs are really dominant, because what's happening on the price when it's going up, it's the ETFs are chewing up all this Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And when the price is going down, Grayscale's selling a boatload of Bitcoin. That's basically the whole story of this current cycle.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, would it surprise me if this is a shortened cycle? It would not surprise me one bit.
Yeah. I mean, on the plus side, so having said that, even if this is a shortened cycle, you still have a lot more cycle ahead of you.
Oh, yeah.
Undoubtedly. As to whether or not that's an 8 month, you know, 8 months from now is when we're going to top out, or it could be 12 months from now. I don't know. But you're still at the beginning of this whole bull market.
Yeah. How long after the halving did the halving happened in like May 2020, and so a full year, and then what, another 5 months? So basically 17 months till it hit the peak, or is it 18 months, year and a half?
It was about 18 months. I think we had crossed it was 4 months, 5 months after the halving is when we had crossed the previous all-time high.
whereas we're touching the previous all-time high. We crossed it temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
Not the inflated all-time high, but the all-time high nonetheless.
Yeah.
Before the halving.
Right, and that's never happened before.
Not even close.
So that's where I'm like, well, if we're, you know, basically, if we're 4 to 5 months ahead of the schedule, you know, if it is going to be a typical cycle and it's shortened, then what did you say, 18 months? So that would be right around 13 months that we'd still have left.
Yeah.
If that was accurate. Like, by no means are we financial advisors or anything like that. But, yeah, just something to kind of think about. And then other news that we have is the Fed decided to pause, right?
Well, they kept the pause going, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they ended, you know, 2023 saying that they're forecasted rate cuts in 2024. And then now that we've been in 2024, they keep saying, oh, rate cuts aren't happening yet, but they will happen.
Yeah, they haven't taken them off the table. Jerome Powell basically said that they're still forecasting at least 3 rate cuts this year, but they're not doing one yet. So it looks like we're going to end Q1 at the same interest rate. They're going to pause, which I think the market was kind of betting on that anyways, especially after that last CPI print that came out, right?
Right.
I don't think anybody thought, oh, well, inflation came in a little bit higher. They're going to cut rates totally. No, we knew that they weren't going to. They're going to wait, though, because, I mean, all you're going to... When do you remember? We've got to go back and look at an older episode, but what CPI was around July or something like that. I want to say it was fairly low, like comparatively speaking.
Yeah, well, I think they were claiming it got under 3%. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah, whatever. All I know is like if it's year over year, then that's the month they're going to show, hey, look, we hit 2, even if it's not 2 point, you know, it could be 2.6, 2.8. But they're going to be like, we hit 2. That may be what they use as the stimulus to say, we're going to cut rates. Even though all that means it's only 2% higher than what it was the previous year at that time, which was already up at 3%, whatever it was at that time, right? So, yeah.
Well, and what frustrates me too is they're calling it, yeah, they say that interest rate or inflation is going down. But it's like 1 year you gained 100 pounds. And the next year you gain 50 pounds and they're saying your weight is going down. No, that's not exactly what's happening.
Yeah, year over year, you've gone down, Rick. You didn't gain 100 pounds again this year.
Yeah, you didn't gain the full 100. It's like, no, that's not how it works.
But don't tell people that.
Yeah.
They don't need to know that. Basically, yeah, it's a mess. And we're going to have to just kind of see where that cookie lies. And my guess is that we will see some sort of a rate cut in Q2. Because obviously we're not going to see it for Q1 because this is, believe it or not, this is already almost the end of Q1, which is insane to me. Seems like the year just got started, but, yeah. So, I mean, that's going to be big news. I don't expect the market to react negatively to this. I think part of it is just going to be like, this is already kind of priced in. And if it is, the markets, and this is all markets across the board, they may kind of trade sideways for the rest of this week. And then next week, they're going to do what they always do, which is, oh, yeah, we want to make money. And stocks will start going up again.
You know what, though? This is the first Monday that it didn't bounce out. It went down.
Yeah. You're talking about stocks in general or Bitcoin?
Bitcoin in general.
Yeah, well, I mean, Bitcoin... We had that crazy run-up last week, right, where we hit our, you know, our previous or our current peak right now, $73,278, you know, when we recorded on the 13th. And everything, every fiber in my being, because of previous cycles, like, I've been feeling like we've been needing a pullback. And we've gotten those flash crashes, and we kind of talked about that. Like, those flash crashes where we'll shift, like, real fast, but then it all gets bought up by the end of the day. Like, we needed something a little bit more where people were feeling some pain. And I hate to say that, but that's what they want, right? Like, they want to get people out of the market. When you sell your Bitcoin currently right now, you're selling to Grayscale. Or not Grayscale, you're selling to BlackRock. You know, that's who's buying your Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind whenever, you know, you feel like you're panicked and you want to sell. BlackRock is sitting down there at the bottom of the ocean with their mouth agape, and they're just going to come swimming up like those big whales and just eat out the school of fish all at one time, right?
Right.
They're going to buy it up till they have
they're
it all.
The whale. As I say, they're the whale, you're the plankton.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. And this game in accumulation, the person with the most wins, hands down.
Yeah.
And that's what they're fighting for. One last thing I wanted to bring up, because we did touch on this before, but apparently Craig Wright, so for those of you that don't know, he's an Australian computer scientist, has a long claim to be Satoshi Nakamoto, a pseudonymous creator of Bitcoin. The claim has been widely regarded as false by both the media and the cryptocurrency community. In a recent ruling, Mr. Justice James Miller in the British High Court, it was officially declared that Craig Wright is not Nakamoto. The judge stated unequivocally, Dr. Wright is not the author of the Bitcoin white paper. Dr. Wright is not the person who operated under the pseudonym of Satoshi Nakamoto. And Dr. Wright is not the person who created the Bitcoin system. Nor is Dr. Wright the author of the Bitcoin software. Nor do we know if Dr. Wright is actually a doctor. Sorry, I had to throw that jab in there after you'd said it earlier. So, yeah.
Is he really a doctor?
Is he really a doctor? Yeah. But yeah, he had brought lawsuits against Coinbase and Twitter founder Jack Dorsey. And those actually have been halted now because of this ruling. So that's good to hear. Makes me happy. Is there anything else you want to bring up today?
Nope. Just sign up for a newsletter. We have something else coming out here soon.
Yep.
And we'll just kind of look at some of the previous downturns that have happened, you know, around the halving and before the Bitcoin market really takes off. And if you think you're too late, I disagree.
But yeah.
That's just my opinion.
I mean, when we're talking about, you know, you still have at least 8 months, I will say that right now. Don't know for sure, but I'll say at least 8 more months of a bull market. And you've seen what happens in just a few months. Like, there's more room to run. So, yeah, I think 100,000 is in the bag for this year. I think it's going to happen no matter what. I would almost bet, you know, a certain amount of Bitcoin on that, but I won't. I'm not a betting guy. And what always happens to me is whenever I bet something like that, I lose. So I will say I'm pretty sure we will hit 100,000 this year. No problem.
Yeah. Outside of some crazy black swan event that we can't foresee happening or coming, that's definitely on the table.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then some.
Yeah. I mean, so just when we look at this, we've got basically on an average 248 million Bitcoin being bought up every day. Like the market can't, like when we get cut in half here pretty soon, that's a lot of Bitcoin. That's 248 million. I'm not talking about actual Bitcoin, $248 million, but obviously it can't be 248 million, but I mean, there's not that many Bitcoin, $248 million daily of buying pressure that's happening on average.
Yeah.
Like,
think a supply is going to get cut in half.
Mm-hmm.
The market supply is going to get cut in half in just a month.
Yep.
Less than a month.
So, yeah. And when you do sign up for the newsletter, you will get the cold storage checklist. And you will also get a chance, if you go through our deals page, to buy an Elipal or a Ledger wallet to help you safely custody your Bitcoin on your own without going through the ETF. So, thank you all for listening.
Peace out.